I don't want to detract from dick talk at all. Don't mistake me. but we should start the episode.
Talk, bonjour, welcome, and hi, this is Jason, back finally with the Adventures in Pod Taste podcast, the AIPT Comics podcast, for those of you who care about such things, like, you know, all of us do. I hope you care about these things. Why are you listening to us if not? Again, as I said, my name is Jason, and I am finally back from my sojourn in lovely Mexico City and the areas thereabouts. With me, as always, on this week's cavalcade of cacophony of Cucamonga? I don't know. I don't have a good C word to come out at. Is my luscious co-host, Dave Hildebrand. Say hi, Dave.
See, I like luscious. That sounds hot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it genuinely implies a certain voluptuousness to you that I think our listeners would love to assume.
And I appreciate that. So, oh, yeah. How's everybody doing this evening?
Woo! Let's find out who these other people are and how they're doing this evening. First up, we have cosplay editor and sometimes guest on the show. You know him, you read him, you oftentimes will follow him on Instagram or Twitter, probably Instagram more than anything. It's JJ Travers. Say hi, JJ.
Hey, everyone.
JJ, how are you this evening?
Good. Went for a nice bike ride after work. It's finally nice weather. It's actually kind of spring here. It's not swelteringly hot yet, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I don't know what it was in Boston, but Chicago today the high was 80, so I was pretty happy with the day thus far.
It was like 70 with a nice breeze. It was perfect.
Word. Coming to us from probably a much warmer climate is our third wheel, I guess you might call him on the show. That implies negativity. I would rephrase that. Our third head, the third head of the Hydra, we have our probably favorite guest, and I say favorite because he's on all the time, and he's always nice. It is Patrick Nathaniel Muir. Say hi, Nate.
Hi, everybody. Weather in El Paso today was 99 degrees. And
yeah, fuck that.
On the plus side, we're going to hit triple digits tomorrow. So there you go.
Is that a plus because you're actually adding things to the current crop of weather?
Yeah, isn't 100 the best you can get?
I mean, it is a perfect score. It's what I've been told about it. But I do not miss triple-digit temperatures. I'm not going to be happy when they come to Chicago because despite being so far north, for some reason, the summers here can just get brutal at times. But I digress. Speaking of brutal, I was out last week, so I didn't get to put my two cents in, but I did get a chance to see Infinity War. I'm assuming, well, actually, I know for a fact that everybody else here has also seen Infinity War, so there's no spoilers abound. I want to take a moment to talk about my feelings on it, because I enjoyed the movie, and I was one of those people. I don't know if everybody else is like this, but when I listen to a podcast that's very conversational like ours, there are times when, especially when I'm not a guest, obviously, that I'm like talking to myself, listening to this, and I want to argue with the people on there. And I have several bones to pick with Dog's rendition of this movie because I really enjoyed it. And I think that he was making mountains of molehills. It felt like he wanted to not enjoy the movie.
He's a scientist. He's a skeptic.
But that's the thing. He, like, not in the article. In the article, he brings up science. But in the podcast, he doesn't actually attack any of the silly science of, you know, Thanos' plan to wipe out half the universe in order to preserve resources. He just, like, oh, well, we know that they're going to come back. So what? I know it's a fucking fake movie. Like, I know it's based in comic books. Everybody comes back. Wolverine is back at this point. Like, everybody's, what was the old line that nobody stays dead except for Uncle Ben and Bucky, and Bucky's already come back?
I can tell this is upsetting you.
It did bother me a touch. But no, I liked the movie. I feel like there was, It was a little clear what the end game is, since it was only the Phase 1 Avengers plus Rocket and Nebula and I guess Okoye and M'Baku who survived that last death wind there. But I still think that I'm jazzed to see where the story goes. I want to see the next one already. I think that Marvel Cinematic Universe is in a good place. I don't know. What do you think, JJ, since you weren't on the show last week either and you haven't gotten a chance to kind of give your opinion on it?
Honestly, I still feel like I'm sorting through it. Overall, I enjoyed it, but I just don't think I've really settled on, you know, there's a lot that happened. There's a lot of people that aren't around anymore. There's the question of, are the Infinity Stones like still around? Does Thanos still have them? Can he still use them? The gauntlet was destroyed, but like, how much does that stop him, since he can technically still wield them? We saw him handle them like barehanded, no problem. Obviously it's comic books, like people don't stay dead forever. How are they going to handle sequel? There's just like, you know, there's so much going on. But that being said, I really enjoyed the film. I laughed a lot. I like so much of it. Some quick things that pop out. I have a big problem with companies and studios and directors that abuse CGI. And it was a CGI fest here, but it was all pretty incredible. Iron Man's suit looked amazing. Thanos, the emotion that you saw out of him, I thought that was really impressive. I loved the job that Josh Brolin did as well. I really enjoy that Rocket's obsession with stealing people's like body parts has just continued through all of these films. I was
Do we think that the last shot off. Of are we thinking that the last shot of Avengers 4 is going to be Rocket in his ship taking off with Bucky's arm in the seat next to him?
When he dropped, "I'm getting that arm," I just lost it. Yeah, so, you know, I don't want to, we're here to talk about something else, so I don't want to spend too long on this, but overall I was really happy. I feel like I'd have to spend an entire episode really digging into it, but I still feel like there's so much to sort through and think about. My last comment on it that I'll give is my hypothesis about the Nova Corps. It was pretty obvious, but you know, they're decimated. So I really, 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 really hopeful that this means we're going to get a Nova film, and I'm done.
I think that's probably pretty likely, whether they do Richard Rider or Sam Ramirez. Is that what his name is? Sam Shepard? Sam Smith? Anyway, the new Nova. I think that it's probably pretty likely, and they haven't announced any of the next slate of Marvel movies beyond like the three that we already knew were coming. I think specifically so that they can hide that sort of thing. One little bit of news about Infinity War that I wanted to touch on before we go there is James Gunn on Twitter actually revealed what Groot's last words were as he was disappearing when Rocket ran up to him. And it was, you know, the words themselves were "I am Groot," but in his own little Grooty language, he was calling out to Rocket and he said, "Dad." And that's right in the damn feels. That's a real kick in the spleen right there. Dave, how do you feel hearing that, since I know you're probably the biggest Rocket fan that I can imagine?
Yeah, when I read that, it's funny. I turned my phone off and just put it down beside me, and I, like, sat there. I was like, really? I'm like, that fucking moment wasn't bad enough, you know, and he had to add that into it. And I don't know if you listen to the show, the reaction show, or not yet, Jason.
I did.
You did.
Okay. That's why I was going off about Dog's comments.
Oh, well, yeah. Duh. Okay. Anyway, and which, by the way, I reached out to Dog and let him know that you were talking about his comments and see if he had anything to say. He hasn't replied yet. But that's the other thing, is if you listen to the show, you know I mentioned about my daughter watching them all die again, and I have not passed that information on to her yet. What Groot said, I don't think I'll be doing that for a while.
But it's no, a good idea.
Yeah, no shit. But yeah, like Jason said, it was like right in the feels. And, you know, Groot looks up to Rocket, and I'm pretty sure, you know, all the other Guardians as parental figures. So that was just the twist of the dagger there at the end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it says something about being attached to a story and a character, that something like that can really, like, weigh on you. And, like, after the fact, too, well after the fact, because I think Gunn only made that revelation earlier this week. But that actually kind of leads into what our topic for the entire show is going to be. And that's adaptations, things that started somewhere else and then became movies. Obviously, comics are pretty much the biggest money-making movie thing in the world. I think Avengers has already made like $600 million, which is ridiculous. That will, you know, credit where credit's due. Dog's line about Wakanda now being like the seventh highest GDP was pretty clever. I'll definitely give him that prop. But that kind of calls to question, you know, what is it about when you hear that one of your favorite properties is being adapted, whether that be a book or a video game or even a comic book? What's the kind of thing that you're looking for? What makes a good adaptation? And, like, what gets you excited about seeing what comes out of it?
I think for a good adaptation is, I mean, sort of like a double-edged sword here. You have to try to stay as close to the, you know, original source material to make everybody happy. But you also have to, you know, bring that punch to it to make it its own as well. But you have to be able to do it proper enough so it gels and it all flows, so it's not just trash.
And there's I'm speaking specifically about video games, but there's something about playing a video game that you're really into, and then the idea of it being put onto the big screen or even in a television show, and seeing an actor that you really like take the part of like The Witcher and making it into something of their own. It's really exciting to see, because you've had your adventures, but it's cool to see hopefully someone's spin on it.
Well, have you seen the Dutch TV show of The Witcher? I think it's Dutch.
Yeah, I've seen clips of it.
It doesn't really seem to capture a lot of it. I haven't read the books, but I played Wild Hunt. It doesn't really seem to capture a lot of that feeling to me. But as I understand it, Wild Hunt as a game is a pretty firm departure from the rest of the series. Notably, evidently Geralt hates to let his beard grow and loves to be clean shaven, and in all of the art for the game, he's got a beard. And I believe even Yennefer comments on it at one point in the game. But I don't know. I guess then let's talk video games first and foremost, because do you think that there's ever truly been a successful video game adaptation? Like, I've talked ad nauseum about my love of the Mortal Kombat movies, because the first one, while that was pretty good, the second one I love even more because it's a total trash fire. If I were like a legit fanboy of Mortal Kombat and wanted everything serious, I wanted to basically to see a movie version of Mortal Kombat X, I wouldn't enjoy either of those movies. But I don't know. What do you think that there has been a good video game adaptation?
I was actually going to go in that direction, because one of the times I was on here, we discussed Mortal Kombat, and I mentioned I had seen it one time, and I remembered it just being very, very bad. And it just so happened that it was showing in a theater here about, I don't know, a month after that, and I watched it, and it's easily one of the more enjoyable movies that I've seen this year. It was really fun. I'm not a Mortal Kombat fan in particular, but I thought the fight scenes were really cool. There were some nice callbacks to the video games. It was silly, but it wasn't boring at any point at all. I mean, there was no plot, but in that kind of movie, I don't know why you would expect one.
No fatalities, too.
Yeah, there's only like one or two. So when they happen, it's actually really cool. It's kind of... when they happen there, it has more oomph to it. Like, I'd have to say, off the top of my head, that may be the best video game adaptation I've ever seen. I really enjoyed it.
I would probably second that as the best video game adaptation out there. But again, that's kind of a relatively low bar to have set. I don't know, JJ, Dave, what do you think? What's is there a good video game adaptation out there?
Yeah, you guys are very wrong. There's two that are just so incredible. I don't know how to react. that you haven't named him. Super Mario Brothers, guys. Come on.
No. I had a feeling that it was going to come to that or like Wing Commander, both of which are total dreck.
John Leguizamo, like...
Well, his name is actually pronounced Leguizamo, yeah. But yeah, of course, two non-Italian guys playing Italian plumbers with Brooklyn accents and revealing the canonical status of their name as Mario Mario and Luigi Mario. Like, that's not a stupid-ass thing. King Koopa being Dennis Hopper would be cool if he was just the voice, but I guess, you know, the state of CG in 1990, whatever that was, probably not allowing a giant Koopa. I would rather that movie have been animated, frankly.
Oh, yeah, that movie needed to be animated.
And I agree with you guys with Mortal Kombat. Definitely is the top one on my list. And I'm trying to think. There was one... some of the Resident Evil films are passable.
Yeah, I would say that the first Resident Evil movie is okay. The rest of them are just dumb action movies. The rest of them tried to be... I guess it's chicken and the egg. I don't know if they tried to be Underworld or if Underworld tried to be Resident Evil, but those movies were all basically the same thing.
I haven't seen a single one of the Underworlds, so I can't compare those two.
Kate Beckinsale, man, that's all you need to know.
Kate Beckinsale, yeah, she's on our couples list between my girlfriend and I, even though I think she's like approaching 50. That has not changed an iota of my affection for Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, you and me both, man. I told my girlfriend that's my freebie.
See, we have a shared list at this point, so it's someone that we can both get into, and I'm glad to say that she agrees on Kate Beckinsale. But I don't know. I guess if we're saying that Mortal Kombat, you know what? I'm kind of curious, JJ, since you listed two and then brought up Mario Brothers. What's this other piece of shit that you're gonna say is an amazing video game movie?
I know, as a wrestling fan, you'll love it. Doom.
Oh, wow, my God. Yeah. I forgot about that movie.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson and
Carl Urban.
Yeah, Carl Urban is like the god of sci-fi, fantasy, shitty movies.
Yeah, he was in the shitty Thor movie. He played like Curse or something like that. And then he was in the good Thor movie, which I thought was weird because he played Scourge. So,
yeah, Carl Urban is the man.
I liked him as Dredd.
Oh yeah! Wait. All day.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good. That's a good comic adaptation right there.
Yeah, I would say that it's one of the better comic book adaptations. There's like a few that are, you know, fun but not very good, including a lot of the Marvel movies. But I would say Dredd is up there as a genuine good adaptation. I'm sorry, Nate, you were going to say something, and we kind of jumped you off with Dredd talk.
Oh, I was just going to say that you know how bad Doom is because Dwayne Johnson is so charismatic that he can make a good movie out of pretty much anything, at least a fun one, but Doom is horrible.
There was the one thing that I remember about it was at the end, like, Carl Urban gets killed, but then somehow gets resurrected, and suddenly it's a first-person shooter movie. Where he's like mowing down like the bad guys, and it's like that hardcore Henry movie, but with like the Doom music. I can't really recall anything from that beyond that. So that's not a great sign when I, super nerd who can quote all of these fucking movies and knows like, you know, all of Carl Urban's like oeuvre, can't really even remember anything about the movie. There's like a love interest too. She's a scientist or something that is like on the moon. I guess my
I've not seen Doom.
Oh, you don't bother. To get away from.
Don't listen to Jason. You watch that movie. I want a full report.
Dave's gonna review Doom. It's gonna be on the site in the next couple of weeks.
Shit. How long is it? It can't be long.
I'm assuming an hour and a half. Yeah.
It's a normal movie. Yeah.
It's like a 75-minute movie. Like they had to cut a lot of garbage.
If it's on Netflix or something, I might watch it just to humor JJ there.
It was on HBO Go for a while, but I think that it's gone at this point.
I can send you a copy, don't worry.
There you go. I guess closing out the talk on video games, what if is there a video game series that you would like to see adapted to a the small screen or the big screen? Is there something that you think naturally lends itself to a cinematic approach? For me personally, I'd like. Well, I worry about it because I know that they tried it, and everything that I read about that attempt sounded awful. But I would love to see a movie of the Uncharted series. I think that it's naturally cinematic. It's been long enough since that last terrible Indiana Jones movie came out that we are, you know, ready to have another exciting anthropological anthropological architectural study, and a guy who can murder it, like a million people, make quips about it, and then climb the a mountain with zero holds. Like, I think that that's all something that can happen.
Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider.
Yeah, but that too. Tomb Raider.
That last one, I haven't seen. Full disclosure, I have not seen any of the Tomb Raider movies, but that last one did pretty badly in the box office.
Is that out already? The one with what's his face's?
Or Walton Coggins, I remember seeing in the trailer, I think.
Very recently, right? Okay, yeah.
Came and gone.
That chick's married to, what the hell is his name? He's in Alien Covenant. He's in, he plays the android.
Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
That was Fassbender crazy. Lyrical?
Yeah, they're married in real life. I also love Michael Fassbender.
I feel like he might be a little overrated, and Dave's opinions on Alien Covenant are very well documented at this point.
You but should yeah, move I, on I, before I yell at you.
I read that one was pretty bad. I don't know. You think that they could make a good Tomb Raider movie at this point, despite the fact that they've tried three times and evidently failed in each one?
No, definitely not. That name
is ruined by now. They just need to leave it alone.
I think also video game movies in general, it just... The minute someone hears video game movie, like, it automatically seems like it's not going to be good. No matter how good it is, you just have it. Like, the GTA movies, or GTA games, people a lot talk about making those into movies, but I imagine that they just be typical action movies that might even be okay, but because they're video game movies, I think people will immediately tune out.
I see. My concern with the label video game movies is that I feel like they would try to make them PG-13, and PG-13 movies can be good, but you think you can tell by my inflection that I think that they're not typically very good, because they have to appeal to a wider, broader audience rather than being true to the source material.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I also think Fallout, people talk a lot about that, and it seems like it would be an interesting movie series or movie, but there's so many post-apocalyptic movies that it just seems like it would fall into the... to the waste pile. And you're right, they would probably make it more accessible, which kind of takes away from part of the fun.
Does Fallout have like a named protagonist, or is it like you are you and you're going through the wasteland and fighting mutants and such?
You are you.
Yeah,
you are so, you, but there's so many groups that, like, from a certain point of view can be a protagonist that it'd be pretty easy to build that. Because depending on who you want to, like, what faction you want to work with, they could just pick one and be like, all right, these guys are the protagonists. It'd be easy.
Then I still think that would make for, like, an unsatisfying experience for the viewer, because you're only going to get probably one perspective, or you're going to get some cacophonous mess like Warcraft, where they try to show you both sides of the equation, and it just ends up underserving everything involved. But we can move past video games at this point. And on to books. Obviously, books have been a pretty prominent source for film for ever, I think. I don't think that there's ever been a time. Like, even like the first few films were adaptations of stories that people knew. And obviously, there's all the fairy tales that have been movies. Things like Wizard of Oz, based on a book. You know, everything's there. I guess, what is it... Have you guys ever found a book that you think the movie rendition was better than the book? Has that ever happened for you?
Yeah, Clockwork Orange, Fight Club are both better movies than better movies than books.
I would agree with Clockwork Orange, because I read that in like 8th or 9th grade and then had some trouble getting to it because it's written in that weird dialect that was invented by, I think that's Burgess wrote that. And it made it a little hard to follow, at least for my stupid 14-year-old ass. But I did enjoy the movie a whole deal. A whole deal more, I guess I should say.
A close one for me is American Psycho. I really love the book, and I absolutely adore the film. So that one's pretty close to being better than a book. But the book is so much more graphic and detailed. If you're an American Psycho fan, you haven't read the book, I strongly suggest you run out and pick that up and give it a read, because it's a lot crazier than the film.
Yeah, my understanding is Bret Easton Ellis is a total psychopath.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess then, what is it that we look for in these? Because, you know, obviously when you read a book, you gain a lot more of a personal stake in the story. The characters, so much of it is filling in with your imagination. How do you guys react when something that you thought was the case in a book or that you've read, when you see the movie, it's not that way? They're doing it different or just outright wrong. What's your reaction to that?
I mean, doing it different is expected in film, because it's it's just impossible to take a book and translate it perfectly to film. It's not feasible. So, like, you expect the change, but are they respecting the source material? Is this a good storytelling device that still achieves the same result that we're all looking for? Like, is this true to the characters? Like, cutting things and leaving things out is fine, but to me, it's about respecting the material. That's why I am pessimistic about pretty much every adaptation from books that I hear about, because they're not concerned about doing a good job to make fans happy and respect the material and, you know, put a great piece of art out there that's a tribute to the reason that they get to do this adaptation in the first place. They're concerned about making a shitload of money. It's why Amazon is putting a Lord of the Rings show together. It's why they're going to take Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time, like, 12-book, insanely epic saga that's going to be impossible to put on TV, and try to do it anyways. And they're both going to suck.
I'm glad you mentioned Wheel of Time, because that's probably my favorite fantasy series ever. I absolutely love the Wheel of Time.
I'm with you, brother.
It's so good. It is so deep and so good. And a part of me, of course, is, yeah, I want to play a video game of this. I want to see a movie. But because it is so long and there's so many layers to it and there's so many characters, I know that there's no way any video game or any movie studio or television studio can get it right. It's just, you have a personal stake and you want it done a certain way, and everyone has a different vision. But when people remove things or even change things that change a character or a story, it becomes personal. It really hurts.
I feel like there's some times where a certain narrative device is used in the book as well that just can't be translated properly into the movie. The immediate example that jumped to mind, in one of the later Hunger Games movies, whatever the third one was, Catching Fire or the Fall of the Capitol, I don't remember what the third one was called, but maybe it was also the first one or the second one. Anyway, the entire series. There's so much in the book that is taking place in Katniss's mind, because it's a first-person omniscient book, and we get kind of her understanding of things and her nuanced opinion on pieces. And so much of the drama, I guess, for the avid reader of that series is her romantic entanglement with PETA and Gale. And the thing is, when you read the book, you can see where her mind is at the entire time. It gives you kind of an understanding of the situation. But in the movie, there's really not a good way to give us what's in her mind, because you can have Jennifer Lawrence emote all you want. If you're not doing a voiceover, which is a terrible idea and would totally sink the pace of the movie, then we don't get that glimpse into her mind's eye, and it just feels like half the story. And I feel like there's a lot of books, or movies, I guess, of books that fall into that trap where they just can't properly approximate, especially such a personal voice like that.
I'd agree. The one that I think affected me the most was going back to, I don't know, middle school. Whenever you think Stephen King is the best writer in the entire world,
so like
eighth grade around that time, I read It, and the miniseries came out at that time. And because I was around the same age as those kids and the story was pretty relatable, I thought the miniseries, the first part of that miniseries, was one of the best things I had ever seen. Stephen King has tons of adaptations. I thought that was the best Stephen King thing ever. It spoke to me. And then the second part was so bad that I felt like I had written the book and they had done it. They didn't do it justice, and it really upset me. Over the years, I've softened on it, and I thought last year's adaptation was pretty good. But I guess it goes back to that personal stake. I feel like I was one of the characters, basically. And when they didn't do it right, I felt like that they were kind of messing with my life.
Should we be worried about the sequel to the most recent adaptation coming out? Do we think that the adult's version of the story is not going to be very good?
Well, it's the same writers and everything. I think it'll be pretty good. I'd really like the first part of it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be
good. Yeah, I mean, I did too. I thought it was one of the better movies of last year. But, you know, just because a movie's good doesn't mean its sequel will be good, you know? Plus, it's going to be, by necessity, a pretty much entirely new cast. You know, there's a lot that goes out there. And those kids were... Like, I think we talked about it around the same time as it came out around the same time as the second season of Stranger Things. And those kids, along with the rest of the Stranger Things kids, and obviously Finn Wolfhard is in both, really kind of were, you know, not superfluous, was superlative. They're like the example of what a child actor could be. They actually showed that, oh, wow, kids can be pretty good when they're given like emotions and script and actual feelings. So that, I think, was also a part of what made it such a standout movie, was that it was like, wow, this is really cool. And it's kind of neat to see, you know, good kid actors acting well in a movie that's taking them seriously as characters.
Definitely, because kid actors and kids in books, not so much, but definitely in movies, for the most part, they are just kind of dead weight and annoying. They're either really cute or really annoying. And in It, they did a good job of giving them a full range of emotions, and you would cheer for them. Without going too much into it, I think Mike got the shaft, but otherwise, I thought they did a really good job with the kids.
Sure, man. Escort missions. That's all kids are in books and movies.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I guess then what would you say is your favorite adaptation to movie, where you like the book, you like the movie, all of that, everything is good, they got it, they nailed it. I know I don't know that I can necessarily come up with one right off the top of my head that I liked both, because a lot of times the books that I felt very personal about, I didn't want to have a movie, and then when they eventually did, I didn't like the movie. I was mentioning before we came on this show the adaptation of On the Road by Jack Kerouac, which is one of my favorite books. It's just a bad movie. It's borderline unwatchable. And I don't lay it all at the feet of Kristen Stewart. She's a terrible actress, but it's not her fault that the movie was bad. It was just poorly adapted for the screen. But let's not talk about bad things. What's a good one? What do you guys think nailed it completely?
I'm going back to my original thought, which I'm going to say American Psycho, but also agree with Nate. I think I actually liked the film Fight Club better than I liked the book, and I'm a big, I'm going to hack his last name, always do, Chuck.
Palahniuk?
Yeah.
Palahniuk, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce it. I've pronounced it like several different ways since that movie came out in 7th grade.
So I like have all of his books except the one that just came out, I believe, last week. I'm going to try and pick that up this weekend and get on that. But I enjoy his writing overall. But yeah, I think Fight Club is pretty good.
Have you seen, there's also a film adaptation of Choke.
Yes, with Sam Rockwell. Right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
It wasn't bad, but the book was better. I enjoyed
the book is much better in that case. There's a book from the 17th century, maybe 18th century. It's called, I want to say, The Life and Times of Tristan Shandy Gentleman or something like that. But it's a satire. Basically, the father of Tristan wrote something called a Tristan-slopedia, an encyclopedia on how to live his life. It's a bunch of double entendres and little silly situations. One of the climaxes in the book is a botched circumcision. The movie is with Steve Coogan, and it's called Tristan Shandy Cock and Bull Story. It's like a film within a film type of thing, which normally I'm not a fan of, but they do a really good job with it. It's a very good book if you don't mind reading that English style. And the movie is very, very well done. It's one of the better movies I've ever seen.
Lord of the Rings. It's the best adaptation of all time.
Wait, Lord of the what? What is this movie?
What? Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. Anyway, you were saying.
What's the joke?
That I've not heard of Lord of the Rings. It was what you call sarcasm. Sometimes it doesn't land.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was generally confused. I did not catch it.
No.
No sarcasm. I do not like Lord of the Rings at all.
The books, the movies, or both?
Both. Can't stand them. I'm not a big fan of fantasy. This is after I say I love Wheel of Time, which is a decades-long series, but...
And it's just fantasy.
I know it is, and I really appreciate what Tolkien did with creating a language and cultures, and I don't know. I just really couldn't get into it. I had to read The Hobbit in middle school. I don't know when I had to read it, but I just never really liked it. I preferred Once and Future King, and I can't explain. Lord of the Rings is really boring to me. The characters are really generic. As for whether it's a good adaptation or not, I mean, honestly, sure, it might be, I guess, but I really don't care.
And see, I'm in the same boat as you. I was forced to read it in school, and I'm one of these people. I don't like being forced to read it. You know, I like to have options, and this is one where we had to read it, and I didn't enjoy it much. Now, I own all three extended 36-hour cuts of the film, however long those big, thick-ass boxes are I have downstairs. But I've yet to sit down and watch a single one of them. I mean...
What is wrong with you two?
I know how the fucking thing ends. That's 12 hours of my life I'm not ready to give up just to see what I already know.
It's the journey that's enjoyable.
It's a lot of
argument.
If I look at it like this, I think Clerks 2 probably broke the film down for me. So,
oh my god,
your affection for Clerks 2 still baffles.
Getting in my car after this and driving to Virginia and making you watch those,
dude. Essentially, I have like the big thick box sets that has like the fucking map, and I don't know, it's got all kinds of shit in those boxes, but I don't even think I've broken the plastic on any of them, so.
See, I don't feel like I can speak to the adaptation process for it because I haven't read the books, but I thought the movies were great. I enjoyed all three of them, and I've seen at least the first two special editions. I don't think I've seen the Return of the King special edition, but that's a solid 7 hours of my life that I've spent watching a movie that I've already seen before and that I know how they end. I don't know. I think that it's really well done, and it's obviously the cinematography of the movie is pretty fantastic, and there's a lot of, you know, CGI things that they pushed that are still being used in films today. I don't know. I like the Lord of the Rings movies. I don't like the Hobbit movies. I think that is garbage. And I read that book whenever that was, elementary school, I believe. But I don't know. I feel like Lord of the Rings does a pretty decent job with the adaptation.
The amount of attention to detail, care, effort, work that went in, the actors, the cinematography, the soundtrack, the armor, the costumes, I mean, the language, like every little detail, it was insane the amount of effort and work that went into it. And then the same studio turned around and put out one of the worst adaptations of all time with The Hobbit. It's like a perfect example of like how to do it right and how to do it the worst way possible. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the worst way, I mean, that segues nicely into what I was going to ask about, like the worst adaptations. And I think, in my opinion, the worst adaptation is World War Z. That was a book that I really enjoyed. And if you haven't read the actual book, it's told as like a series of vignettes as if they're interviewing people after the zombie plague has kind of died down and humanity's back on its feet. You know, the world's changed, obviously, but it's told like a Dateline interview series. And I thought that that was really cool. And I thought that they could make a really cool like HBO mockumentary series, whatever, where they will just interview people and show stills and they don't have to do all this shit. But instead, they get Brad Pitt and CGI zombie waves. And it was the fucking pits. That movie was garbage. And it had such a bad storyline. And they had to literally rewrite Matthew Fox. I think it's Matthew Fox from Lost. Originally played this character who was sleeping with Brad Pitt's wife so that she could stay on like the ship and be safe with her daughters or whatever. But it tested so badly that they literally rewrote this character to be some sort of like hero that works alongside Brad Pitt and blah blah blah. And that's not in the fucking book. That's just some garbage that some asshole fucking put together. Brad Pitt's whole like going to find like the cure bullshit is also not in the book. Like being sick, being a way of disguising yourself from the zombies is also not in the fucking book. It's a shit movie that they glued a good theme to. And I feel like it's like the worst adaptation I can think of. What about you guys? What do you think?
I didn't even watch the movie. I read the book, and I absolutely loved the book. And when they announced that Brad Pitt was going to be the lead role, and I don't have nothing against Brad Pitt for the most part. He's been in some decent films, but I did not think he needed to be the lead in World War Z. So you took a step further than me. You actually watched the film. That's one I do not plan on sitting down and watching either.
One of the worst adaptations. I don't have the same hate that Jason has for World War Z, but League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh yeah,
that's a piece of shit.
I like that movie, but I fully accept that it's a bad movie.
It doesn't have like, and this kind of goes to the worst best or best to worst thing, because I think Watchmen is a great adaptation. Another Alan Moore book, but League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is so inventive and original and exciting, the comic, but the movie is so bland and corny and it's not as fun as the books are.
I mean, I like the corniness of it. I like the corniness of it. I thought it's you know what it is? It's one of those homesick from school and it's on TBS in the middle of the day movies. Like, I don't care to watch one of those movies. I'm never going to own one of them. But if it's on and I got nothing better to do and I can't leave the house, sure, I'll watch this nonsense. You know, it's like the perfect storm of badly written, decently cast. The CG is pretty shit when they show what's his name, Dr. Jekyll turning into Mr. Hyde. And yeah, I can totally understand Alan Moore being upset about it and everybody thinking that it's got it's a terrible transition from the original, but yeah, I don't know.
A stay-at-home movie or a movie just to watch just because it's on is Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh yeah.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is nowhere near as good as Adventures in Babysitting.
Look, I enjoy Adventures in Babysitting as much as the next guy. It was the first cinematic appearance of Thor, unless we count the TV movie that was the Thor versus the Incredible Hulk. But I don't know. I think they're fun and stupid in separate ways.
I mean, there's adaptations that are bad and you hate and you want to kill people for taking something you love and ruining it, like The Hobbit, which is just bullshit in so, so many ways. The made-up characters, the nonsense romance, the awful CGI, the total deviation from the story. I could go on.
The Goblin Song, bro.
Yeah, I don't even want to go there. But then there's really bad adaptations for things you love that are, like, so bad that it's funny to watch. Like Dune with Sting and who else was in it?
Kyle MacLachlan?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The original Dune movie is like one of the biggest pieces of shit.
David Lynch, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was David Lynch. It's just so bad, but it's hilarious because it's just so utterly absurd. Like the Baron in it. They changed like huge, huge plots to just nonsensical things, like the Weirding Way. Have you guys read the book?
I have not.
Long time. I haven't read it.
All
right. Well, never mind, because it won't make sense. But the point is, it's just it's so absurd in so many ways that you can't help but just laugh at it. Dune is so epic on such a large scale that they did like a sci-fi miniseries, which actually, all things considered, wasn't the worst thing in the world. But they're doing another film. I think the guy that did that French dude that did Fifth Element and
Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah, and he did that new sci-fi epic.
He did Blade Runner.
Valerian, the Tale of a Thousand Ships, or whatever it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe Luc Besson who did Valerian, and it was something a thousand planets.
Yes, you're right, actually. Either way, I'm pretty sure it's Fifth Element guy who's doing Dune. I don't know when it's set to come out, but I'm very interested to see if the third try gets it right.
I think Terry Gilliam could do a good rendition of it, at least visually. Although nobody really complains too much about the visuals of that first Dune series, just that it was, you know, confusing and Sting in a metal bikini and, you know, all that sort of thing.
That's the best part.
You know what's funny is I have Dune action figures from when that film came out.
With Dune, I'd always heard about what a horrible movie it is. And full disclosure, I'm a huge David Lynch fan. I'd heard that Dune is a really horrible movie. But the series is really good. And I've always wanted to read it. But when I finally watched Dune like maybe 2 years ago, I really didn't think it was all that bad. I kind of wondered what all the hubbub was about, how horrible it was.
Yeah, I've definitely had movies like that where people prepare me for it to be awful. And because of that, I am disappointed, I guess, that it's not as bad as people say. And so I'm like, yeah, this is actually kind of an okay movie.
I don't know. I expected World of Warcraft to be complete and utter like pile of burning garbage. But I thought, all things considered, it was pretty decent. I thought it was going to be so much worse than it was.
I mean, you know, several hundred thousand Chinese men can't be wrong. Yeah, Kitty agrees.
Sorry. She
I was going to ask if that was a cat.
Cat agrees.
Yeah, my cat is very vocal when I'm not actively petting her.
Yeah, she's one of the horde, is my understanding. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into making a good movie, and there's a lot of things that go into making a good book, and I feel like they're just not always... they're not always correlational. There's just not, or I guess we could also apply that to video games or anything that's being adapted. I think that there's something that's interesting that can be done when you take your own kind of slant on an existing story and create something new and unique. Like, I don't know how many of you guys thought of it when we first pitched this topic, but the movie adaptation with what's his name?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage in dual roles, directed by Spike Jones, is technically an adaptation of this book called like The Flower Thief. And there are elements of the book that do appear in it, but it's really its own kind of story wrapped around that story. And I thought that movie was really inventive and fun. I hated it at first because the ending is this Deus Ex Machina bullshit. But on like rewatching it, I realized that was kind of the point. Like, they talk so much about in the story, because Nicolas Cage plays two brothers. One's a struggling writer who's got writer's block, and the other is a mildly successful actor who's doing some shitty movie and getting a lot of success. And at least I think that's what it was. It's been a while since I've seen it. But they talk so much about how, you know, endings in movies are not real life. Like, sometimes shit just happens and you have no idea what's going on. And then in the end, they're being chased and a fucking just alligator pops out of the water and bites and eats the bad guy. And it's like, spoiler alert, I guess, for this movie that's more than 10 years old. But I thought that that was really inventive and kind of fun. I think that playing with your source material can be a good thing. So like earlier, Nate had, or maybe it was Dave, had said that the way to make a good adaptation is to be faithful to the source material. And I don't know that that's always necessary. I feel like it's good to a degree, but if you're so beholden to it that you end up with impenetrable Drek like Dune, then you're kind of just ruining your own fun, I guess.
I guess it depends on the series or the book. And I'm probably not the best person to speak to this, but I know the Dark Tower series has a pretty huge fan base. And I only read the Gunslinger right before the Dark Tower came out last year. And I was really excited to see the Dark Tower because I'd always heard great things about the Gunslinger series. And as trailers and posters are coming out, it just looked absolutely horrible. And then I heard that it was actually going to be, and if I pronounce this wrong, I'm sorry, it was going to be a different cycle in the Horn of Gillian or whatever. So I figured, cool, someone's going to do a different take on this series. And it wasn't good, per se, but it was nowhere near as bad as I thought it would be. And I thought it was cool that they were trying to do I know they were using a lot of the mythos, and they use a lot of, obviously, characters and terms, but they also took their own spin on it. But apparently it didn't go over so well with a lot of the fans of the series.
Nope. Or critics or the general movie-going population, because that movie bombed.
They never were really straight with what it was for so long. First it was a sequel, then it was in a separate universe, then it was going to be a prequel, then it was going to be in between certain books, and you could tell that they had no idea what they were doing. It's just this jumbled mass of random stories that they pulled out and pieced together into this pile of shit. It was fucking terrible, and it makes me really angry because that's one of the best epics in the sci-fi fantasy horror genre ever. It's incredible. It's one of my favorite series of all time. And it's just, I don't know. I'm like amazed Stephen King let that happen. I can't believe that he saw that and was like, yeah, this is a good idea. This is going really well. I think they had multiple directors, multiple writing teams, and it's obvious. I fucking hate that movie.
Well, see, it helped when they stapled the royalty check to his ticket when he saw it.
Yeah, I'm sure he was blinded by all the zeros and the money.
He's already so rich. He doesn't need that.
He gets money.
He also didn't care for The Shining, and that did pretty well.
That's a fair point.
I'm one of the rare people who doesn't really enjoy Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. There are elements of it that I think that are neat, mostly centered around the production. I feel like the actual story of the movie itself, it kind of falls apart. But I'm in the same boat as Nate, where I didn't read the series, but was pretty excited when I heard that they were making it, because yeah, like it's pretty commonly held around nerd fandom that this is a really highly esteemed series. And I heard initially that it was going to be a series on HBO, which sounded really exciting. Like I was like, awesome. That I know this is a series of books that's been going on for decades at this point. That makes a ton of sense to do it that way rather than try and do a single fucking movie of it, or trying to encapsulate. Stephen King's books are always super fucking long, and trying to put it all into one movie feels like impossible. I mean, you're seeing it right now with It, which I would say is probably of the scary movies or the scary books that Stephen King's written. The 2017 version of It is probably the best adaptation. I think, because the only other real competition would be The Shining, and I've already discussed my relative dislike for it. But it seemed like there was so much promise. The Gunslinger sounded really cool, and it sounded like there was a lot of action, and it sounded like, I guess they call him the Man in Black, but I thought he was Randall Flagg. I thought that was really cool. And it just, as the trailers kept coming out, it looked like it was Idris Elba and his boyhood and his little boyfriend, like, go on an adventure. And it looked so bad.
That would have been fine because those two are companions that do go on an adventure together, but they just, oh man, I'm just going to rant, but they just screwed it up so very badly. You should have just either done, you know, we're going to do X amount of films or put a series on HBO. Don't just put a piecemeal story out to make money. And that's what it was. And that's why I think that's why fans were so mad. Like, if you had at least tried to be true to the story and it wasn't good, that's one thing. But it's clear you were just like, yeah, we can make money. That's all that was.
Yep. Like World War Z, just stapling the name to something just to get it out there.
Yeah, that wasn't even an adaptation. They literally just put the name on it.
Well, we're coming up pretty close to our hour here, but I want to give the same question I asked about video games. And when it comes to books, what's something that you guys would like to see adapted into a movie at some point in the future?
Okay, not a video game, but I'm going to go with anime. I don't even know if this counts as an adaptation, but and this is nostalgia speaking, but I still think the Robotech series, the American Robotech series, is one of the best animes ever made. They cobbled together three totally different series and combined it into one really epic and fun and deep story and something that was very entertaining. They've tried a couple of movies with it. A lot of times they do flashbacks, which are basically just retellings of the series, specifically the Macross segment of it. But I think a Robotech movie, whether it's live action or animated, I think that would be really fun. I would love to see that.
I would probably prefer Gundam. That's my giant mech pilot anime of choice, but to each his own. JJ, how about you? What would you like to see adapted?
Nothing. Most adaptations really piss me off. I think it's like a rare treat when they get it right. But
we picked the right day to have you on.
Yeah, I'm really mad about The Hobbit still. It's been a while.
Dave, how about you?
At this present time, there isn't anything that really stands out that I scream, give me an adaptation of that. One thing I did want to bring up, and that's only because JJ praised it so much. This is real quick. Aliens is probably one of my favorite sci-fi films. But ever since, I want to say, Aliens, Colonial Marines, I have not come across a comic series with the aliens I've enjoyed. Now, JJ really praised Dead Orbit. I read the first issue when it first came out, and I wasn't a big fan, but I'm thinking I'm going to go back and check it out with JJ. So that's why I was going to ask JJ, is it good? I guess you like Aliens just as much. Is there a decent, you know, comic adaptation other than Colonial Marines based from the films?
I think Dead Orbit is the best Alien story since Aliens, the second film. I liked it that much. I also like the Earth Invasion series. That's super old. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon or through Dark Horse's website, but that was a super cool story about the Xenomorphs getting on Earth and basically slowly taking over. There's a new series out. I forget the name of it. I think Trevor is reviewing it for us right now, but it's from IDW, and his reviews for it were really good, and the artwork looks fantastic. So
that's the one with a mother and a kid, right?
Yeah, ask him about that. It looks awesome. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my list.
I skimmed through it and I put it back.
Well, I tried.
Yeah, Dave, you just might not like things with aliens. You know what I wish is that Aliens cartoon show eventually got off the air. Because you remember they put out the toys in like the 90s at one point, and like, you know, Ripley had like a flamethrower that could like spit out a little bit of fire, and I think Hicks was a character, and fucking Drake had his like his big sweepy gun like that he and Vasquez had. I don't think there was a Vasquez figure actually, which is weird because she was certainly a bigger character than Drake or a couple of the other characters that they made. But that was ostensibly supposed to be accompanying a TV show, like a cartoon, but it was deemed too violent and they never actually produced
it. You don't say.
Yeah.
But see,
turns out your alien sex monsters are not good for little kids.
But see, that's what bothers me, is they say that's too violent. And then you have, like, the two heavy hitters, Aliens and Predator, in multiple films. They can't get any higher than a fucking PG-13 rating, which I have not seen any of those because I don't see the purpose of a PG-13 Aliens film.
And you didn't even see the first one when it came out? I definitely did. I saw that. Aliens vs.
Predator?
Yeah.
No, it's PG-13.
That wasn't big a deal to me back in like 2002 or whenever that movie came out.
What's with the PG-13 hate tonight? Like, there's some good PG-13 movies.
Yeah, they're called Back to the Future, and that's kind of it.
Death of Stalin this year.
And so much of the
Water.
The Shape of Water was not PG-13, sir.
There was sex, like
full frontal nudity all through the fucking film. Yeah, no, it wasn't PG-13.
Woman masturbated in the bathtub in the first couple of minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, in my mind, it was a PG-13 movie. I thought it was very...
You must have went up and got dinner or the bathroom or some shit and missed some of those explicit parts, as it certainly wasn't a PG-13 film.
All that gross shit with Michael Shannon's finger?
I thought that was cute.
When he's having sex with his wife and putting it in her mouth, and she's like, oh, no, that's a good movie. we're going to actually, it sounds like, we're going to forego our usual segment at this time, defend your poor taste, because both of these gents have defended it plenty of times. Dave, would you like to defend your poor taste? Or does...
I think
well, I just have one.
Defend his Shape of Water theory.
No, yeah. Really, really quickly, I don't like Lord of the Rings, and I think Gundam sucks, but Dave's pretty cool. I agree with Dave on pretty much everything.
Gundam Wing.
This is probably my last. Yeah, this is probably my last show with you guys.
You sound like Chris now.
Yeah.
All right, I'm definitely coming back then. I don't want that comparison.
Yeah, don't tell us your opinion on olives.
I enjoy them.
Yeah, that's the exact opinion that makes you sound like Chris. But anyway, let's move on to our weekly picks, where we talk about what we're watching, reading, playing. And kind of give people a sentiment of what they should be checking out in the current week. JJ, as our most non-Chrisley character, why don't you give us a start? What you watching, what you reading, what you playing?
I'm not really watching anything right now, to be honest. I've just been so busy. I've been watching Netflix while I cook, but really nothing besides that. Nothing consistent, just like old shit like The Office and Parks and Rec. I just finished the Mistborn series by Brandon Sanderson, which was really awesome. I liked it a lot. It was a fun read. I like his pacing. I just started The Way of Kings, which is also by Brandon Sanderson. It's the first book in the Stormlight Archive. It's supposed to be 10. He has three out. It's basically his Wheel of Time, his Dark Tower. I'm only like 40 pages in, and I already love it, so I'm really excited about it. And for games, when I have time, I've been alternating between Overwatch and Rust. I've been trying to get outside a lot more since the weather's nicer, so therefore I'm consuming less media. And for comics, I'm really only reading Maestros right now, and the sixth issue just came out, which is the end of his first story arc, and it's incredible. It's like one of my favorite comics. I think it's the best comic out right now.
Well, all right. Dave, what about you? What you watching, what you reading, what you playing?
Much like JJ, it's nicer out around here, and soccer season is close to starting up, so I've been working out a lot, getting ready for that. The only thing I've really been watching is the hockey playoffs, Go Vegas. So I got that going on. Reading. I started rereading the Infinity Gauntlet. So Comixology had a sale. I think you can pick it up still right now for like $3. So I went ahead and picked that up digital. Another bad adaptation, RoboCop Citizen's Arrest is in its second issue, and I reviewed that this week, and it's not that good. And I got a Punisher trade sent to me about his Vietnam story, so I'll have that review up soon, and that's been pretty good so far. Playing, I picked up Far Cry 5.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm a couple hours into it so far, and I'm enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would, because, you know, I like playing multiplayer online more than anything, but it's been a pretty interesting story so far, so I'm enjoying it.
Is there not a multiplayer element to Far Cry?
There is, but I haven't dove into it yet. I'm sure it's nothing extravagant or anything, so...
But you gotta figure out how to sick bears on people first.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because there's this random shit that happens in the game, and it gave me the alert that an enemy spotted me, so I turned around to see what was going on, and then he turned his attention away from me. He was with another, like, hunter-type enemy, and the bear rushed him and killed both of them right in front of me. So, that was entertaining enough, and I was like, I should go loot those guys, but I was like, well, no, then I gotta go fuck with that big bear right there. So I just got in my four-wheeler and went on about my way.
Yeah, I know that that's one of your, like, I guess, projectiles, is that you can throw hunks of meat, and it will attract bears, and they'll attack anybody that's in the periphery. So, anyway, I haven't played Far Cry, so I can't really weigh too heavily in it, but it seems like a reasonably cool story. Nate, what about you? What you watching, what you reading, what you playing?
I've been watching the new season of Westworld. It's pretty good. Last season got off to a little slow start. Arguably, it was pretty bad to start. But this season also, it's a little slow, kind of iffy at times, but I'm enjoying it. I'm interested in seeing where it goes. Reading, I'm going to be starting The Fix, which I believe was released by Image. It's about corrupt cops in, I want to say, Miami. But I'm going to be reading that. And
awesome. Don't mean to interrupt you. It is awesome.
See, you should join the comic book. Every time I mention the comic book club what we're reading, you always say it's good. And you were right about Four Kids in a Bank. That was one of the best things I've ever read. I loved it.
It was very good, yep. If you like Nick Spencer, that's the thing when... his whole Secret Empire came out, everybody attacked him. I'm like, well, you should read The Fix, because he has, like, this raunchy, dark humor about him, and The Fix is just a complete 180 from Hydra Cap, and it's so enjoyable. So you have to let me know what you think about it when you start reading it.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pick that up tomorrow, so I'm going to start that. Playing, I haven't bought anything new, but on the PlayStation Store, they released a demo for Detroit Become Human or Being Human, David Cage. I enjoyed that a lot. I like his games a lot. They're not for everybody, but I thought it was really fun.
Is he the Quiet Rain or whatever?
Heavy Rain. Yeah, the basically you're playing a movie thing, and it's not much different. But if you enjoy it, then it's you'll probably enjoy this one, because what I played was really fun and really sad ending. Like, I thought I had succeeded. I thought I did everything right. And at the end, the character's just staring at me, and he just tells me, "You're a liar." And he dies, and it just kind of hurt. It really hurts, because I just saved a little girl. But otherwise, that's all that I've been doing. It's getting really busy. I'm getting really busy at work, and it's getting really hot, so I've been staying indoors. But that's it. Pretty humdrum life.
Well, I think it's Beyond Two Souls, which is done by the same guy with what's her name, Ellen Page.
Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe. Yeah,
that's available for download for free if you have PlayStation Plus. So that's something that I'm potentially going to get into in the coming weeks. But as for me, I just finished this Spider-Man Brand New Day trade over my trip to Mexico. So obviously I haven't been as up on things because I was out of the country for a little while. I obviously saw Infinity War when I came back, and I started watching Atlanta on the plane, and that show is actually pretty good. I think that Donald Glover is pretty great in most of the things that he does. So I'm surprised it took me so long to get into Atlanta, but I've watched about 8 episodes so far. I think it's a really good show. Playing. So today they released a new version, a new option on Fortnite called Infinity War, where one of the weapons you can find is the goddamn Infinity Gauntlet, and it transforms you into Thanos, and you get this super heavy health bar, and you can fly, and you can shoot energy beams, and all sorts of shit. And it's just, it seems like, in a sense, one of the games that I've also been playing a ton of over the last year or so, Friday the 13th, where suddenly you get to be Jason in it because you're unstoppable and everybody can see where you are and takes a shit ton to kill you. But if you do die, someone else can grab the Infinity Gauntlet and they become Thanos. So it's a crazy rendition. The storm moves a lot faster and does a lot more damage, so it pushes the action a lot more. The games are quicker because of it. It's a neat little wrinkle in Fortnite. I'm up to 4 wins on Fortnite too, so my streak of I think I played it for like a couple weeks without even a kill, and now I'm actually doing okay on it. That kind of ended. So other than that, nothing new or interesting getting picked up. Yeah, and that's kind of my intake, at least for the past week or so. With that underwhelming tone, it means that it's about the end of our show. I want to give a quick and serious and earnest, heartfelt, and several other adjectives that mean good things. Thank you to you guys for listening to us for this entire time. We know that you have your choice in online entertainment, and we're happy you spent it with us. I want to take a moment to thank our guests this evening, Mr. JJ Travers, cosplay editor. JJ, how can our listeners find you online if they're trying to get a hold of you?
You can find me on the site's Instagram, which is AIPT Comics. I also have my own Instagram. It's just JJ Travers. And then my Twitter is, hey, it's JJ Travers.
Fantastic. Also want to give a shout out to, let's call him the Gilligan to my Skipper and Dave's Marianne. We're going to give a shout out to Patrick Nathaniel Muir. Thank you for coming on again. Pat, how can our listeners find you?
I'm on Twitter at Paticus Finch and on Facebook, at Patrick Muir Chavez.
And of course, I couldn't do this without my partner in crime, the guy who keeps this show moving, the guy who presses record every week. That'd be Dave Hildebrand. Dave, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Psychotic, and you know how it's spelled, Psycotic.
And my name is Jason. You can find me online at Felix Lancaster in most social media outlets. I don't think that I'm that on LinkedIn, but yeah, you can find me there potentially. Anyway, thank you for listening to Adventures in Pod Taste, the AIPT Comics podcast, and we will catch you next time.
Good night, Japan.
Thank you. Good night.